I gave you Nora.
Well, I'm Nora, and I am an alcoholic.
Hey,
everybody. Wow, what a great room. So I want to first thank you all for the opportunity to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. And maybe my experience can have some value to help somebody, even just one person. And that's why I'm doing it. I was asked, and I say yes. To start, I wanted to say I believe I would be dead without AA and the hand of AA that reached out to help me when I was ready. But a lot had to happen before I was ready to receive the gift of sobriety and recovery. My last white chip, so my sobriety date, was August 20th, 2007. So I just celebrated 18 years. Thank you. And I do qualify to be here. Trust me. You don't have a lot of time to tell your story, and when you're as old as I am, I'm just turning 68, that's a lot of life to talk about, so we won't talk about all of it. I just want to point out a few different things. I know that early on in my life, I was full of fear. From a very early age, I can remember always being fearful of everything and everybody. Why that was, I'm not really sure, but I learned to build walls around me early on. I felt different, as we hear many people say. I felt I didn't belong. I felt I didn't fit in. And that carried on through a good portion of my life. I grew up in a family of 8 children. My mom was from 9 children. She was the oldest in her family. Alcoholism ran through my family, her generation, and my dad's generation. And my dad was also an alcoholic. So some of us siblings got that disease. I was one. I had a brother, so I have 3 older brothers, and there's myself, a younger brother, and 3 younger sisters. So I was the oldest girl. My mom really relied on me a lot to help her. And I knew that from the beginning. So I had to grow up real fast. A lot of resentments built along that way because of that. Not being allowed to do a lot of the things that my friends were able to do and stuff. I had a good life growing up. I mean, I really did. We didn't have much. We were a small house, 1 bathroom, no shower. So you can imagine with all these kids and getting ready for school in the morning and everything else. And yes, we walked 3 miles to school in the snow. I grew up in New Jersey. Now, we took the bus. Hey, New Jersey, all right. I am a Yankee. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. And at the time I was growing up, and we were on a small lake, too. So we had a lot of outdoor activities. At the time that I was growing up, we had all 4 seasons. So I had a lot of outside stuff, a lot of activities. My mom and dad didn't know half of what we were doing. You know, we were just outside all day long, getting into trouble. But I didn't get into trouble, of course. I was the good girl. No, I hid it really well. I had a brother, though, who I was extremely close to, one of my brothers. My other 2 brothers, my oldest brothers, weren't very nice to me. There was some abuse there in my life growing up. Don't need to really bring all that up, just there was. My brother Dave was my protector. We were very, very close and very tight growing up. We were more friends than we were siblings. But he was also an alcoholic. Well, of course, none of us knew it at that time. But he also dabbled in many other things. And David was one of those kids that I said was always stepping in shit. You know, no matter what he did, even at the youngest age, he was always stepping in shit, always getting in trouble with teachers and everything else. Where I kind of, you know, I was in the background, and if I got in trouble with a teacher, it was because my brother was in trouble before me because he was a couple years older than me, and they had another row come into the classroom, and they just figured I was going to be nothing but trouble, too. I remember one teacher slamming his thing on my desk and saying, "Wake up, Ro," and you know, I was just one of those kids. I cried over everything. I was scared of everybody. My brother was my protector. But my brother was also, when I took my first drink, so we're just going to go up to that. Took my first drink at 16. But there was always alcohol in my house. And with the numbers of aunts and uncles that I had on both sides of the family, they were always hanging at our house too. We were on the lake, the party time was at the house. There was always alcohol flying free. Until my dad got sober. My dad did end up getting sober. And that was my first introduction to AA. And I was 16. But I took my first drink at 16. Boone's Farm Mountain Apple Wine. I don't remember whether I loved it, hated it. I don't know. I was so drunk when I got home. My brother Dave managed to help me get down from the road to the house. I don't remember a whole lot of it, but I do remember my parents, because I had to sneak out of the house. I wasn't allowed to do anything. I was going to go to this one party, by golly, because my friends always went to these things and I never could go. So I snuck out of the house. That was the first bad thing I really did. I caught shit. But I also threw up all over the yard when I got home. But what I do remember about that was I had fun because it took me out of myself. I was able to socialize. I was able to feel good and talk to people. And I do remember that. I had a good time. It didn't matter that I was sick as a dog and that I got in trouble with my parents. I really wanted to do that again. Yeah, 16 was a big year for me as far as making some really poor decisions. I didn't have guidance. I really wanted to be a math teacher at one time. I love math. Was always really good at it. Straight A's, that's what I was going to be. But, you know, by the time I was 16, and I was a junior when I was 16. I was 15 going into my junior year, and I turned 16. I had no desire anymore. I just really wanted to get out. I was tired of not being able to be an adult because I thought I was all grown up at that age. I know what I'm doing. I can make my own decisions. I just want to work, make money, and get the hell out of here from these 8 kids in the family. I'm tired of doing this stuff. You know, I'm tired of helping my mom. I'm tired of having to be there all the time and clean and do this. I was resentful. And also, when I got my first real job, I was having to pay room and board. And my brothers never had to. So, another resentment. I mean, I get it today. I just continued to really get in trouble whenever. But I didn't get in trouble. That's the thing, is I could sneak and do things and drink and have that fun. But I didn't get in trouble because my brother Dave was the one who they were focused on. He was the one who was always really making big trouble because he was doing stuff that was really bad, like smoking pot. And they found pot in his room. You know, my parents went nuts. My parents decided that they were going to move from New Jersey to Georgia. And by golly, I was not going to do that. I had graduated high school. I managed to get through school. And, you know, I was always a friendly kid, but I didn't have any real relationships. I did not let people get to know me because if they did, they wouldn't like me. And that was, I know that's why I did that. It's funny because I became friendly with one girl after high school. We went to school together, but we didn't become friends until after high school because she moved on to the street that I lived on. And she said to me, I just thought you were unapproachable in school because you were so popular. I just about, like, what? You're talking about me? No, I don't have any friends. So it's just kind of interesting how you can put on this mask and these, just pretend that you're this other person and people bought it. I remember somebody telling me once, oh my God, I mean, you can convince me of anything. Apparently I was really good at, like, I could have been a salesperson, right? I could have sold anybody anything. I didn't know that, but they told me that's what I was really good at. I was a chameleon. I was whoever I needed to be with whoever I was with. I didn't know who I was for a very long time. Okay, I goofed off for a while after my parents moved out. I had moved, well, right before they moved out, I got a new job. And actually, my first job right out of high school, I was working for an accounting firm. And funny thing is, I'm working for an accounting firm now, here in Georgia. So, I worked for that accounting firm for 3 years. Lieberman, Dumbroff, Abraham, and Mark. You think they were Jewish? Yes. Ended up marrying a Jewish man, too, by the way. And I did love him. I had to be different, you know, I had to be different. Did get a new job at Warner Lambert Pharmaceuticals. It was actually a really good job. How in the world I got that job, I don't know. Again, I could fool anybody and make them believe anything about me. I met my husband. We were introduced through this friend who thought I was the most popular thing in high school. And she went to ski club with him, and we were out celebrating my new job. And he was DJing at this place. She introduced us, and we started going out. Fell in love, I suppose. And we did end up getting married. We moved in together first, but my parents had moved at this point down to Georgia. I was had a roommate in an apartment, and Ralph and I decided we would move in together. And I was terrified because my dad told me one time if I should ever do something like that, and, you know, he would totally disown me. Well, I moved in with him. We wrote them a nice letter, you know. Anyway, and I just hoped for the best. Dad wouldn't disown me. He didn't disown me. So we lived together for a little while, and we did end up getting married. We were so very different people. He offered me a life that I didn't have before. I was very secluded and didn't get to do much of anything. But he has started his own business. He's in the music business. Very impressive. He was a skier. He traveled. We got into scuba together. We had tons of fun, and we just did a lot of fun stuff together, and I thought, I have hit the big time, man, because now I can drink, too, because to me, that's part of being a grown-up, right? I mean, I can drink and just have a ball. My drink of choice was wine. I thought I was going to be some wine connoisseur or something, because he wanted to be a wine connoisseur. He really had dreams of having this wine closet and everything, and buying $50 bottles of wine and whatever. Well, that didn't work with an alcoholic. So, yeah, that did not work. He did try that for several years, but it just never went there. No. When you're an alcoholic, if you want to have a drink, you don't care if it's a $50 bottle of wine. You can justify anything if you want to have that drink. You'll justify anything, and I did. I did. It didn't matter that it would cause an issue, cause a problem. I'll smooth that over. You know, we'll just figure that out. We'll go to bed and we'll be fine. You know, but that didn't last very long either. So I really wanted to have a baby. We were 4 years into the marriage, and, you know, we were having a good time. But, you know, I mean, obviously, I had a problem. He never talked to me about it. He never said anything about it, and I just went along my merry way, and I don't know. I you know, when we did split up, I asked him, you know, one time, were you ever going to say anything to me? Well, if it went on a little bit longer, I might have said something, you know. Anyway, long story short, I did end up having two children, but before I had the two children, I had a very bad car accident. Ralph bought me a brand new car. I don't know why. He bought me a brand new car because he knew I had a drinking problem, and I don't know if he just thought maybe I'll buy her something and, you know, maybe that'll make her happy, and she won't take my $50 bottle of wine anymore. Anyway, it was a beautiful car, and I smashed it within a week, and it was a really bad accident, and I really got hurt but did not go to the hospital. And the car I hit took off. And so something was fishy there. Knocked myself out, whatever. Yeah, and I managed to stay clean for 4 months. But it was white-knuckling it, obviously. And because, you know, if you're truly an alcoholic, you know, that's just not going to work. Oh, I had a bottle of champagne that was in the car, you know, I had shoved. I remember being conscious enough. I hit my head, broke the windshield. I mean, it was a mess. I remember coming to, and my first thought was that bottle of champagne. God, did it break? You know? Is it still going to be able to drink it? I mean, that's sick, man. I need help. We ended up splitting up. I left him, actually. And about 6 months, I think we were separated, and he wanted to get back together. And the reason why I left him is because I did become pregnant, and he didn't want the baby, and I did, and he said, it's me or the baby, and I chose him. And it's something I will have to live with for the rest of my life, but it killed me at the time, and I just said, this is bullshit, I just left him. Well, I left him, and then, of course, got into doing some other things, drugs, but you know, alcohol was always my main choice. I was never without alcohol. How in the world I kept my job is just amazing to me, because I drank, you know, I drank at work, I drank on lunches, sometimes I wouldn't come back from lunch, and I had a wonderful boss who loved me, but what an enabler. I mean, really, he knew what was going on. We got back together, and I did end up having a child, and that's my firstborn, David, and he just turned 39 this week. So I was 28, almost 29 when I had him. Things were actually really good between me and Ralph at that time. I'm an alcoholic, and it was very difficult during that pregnancy to not drink. It was very difficult, and I did end up drinking the 9th month. Because my doctor told me it would be okay to have a glass of wine, because I was, you know, I was just nervous wreck, and, you know, doc, you know, can I have some wine, you know? He said, well, you can have a glass of wine. I'm sure that's what he told me, you know, it'd be okay to have a glass of wine. You're in a nice place. Not a friggin' bottle of wine, but I had the bottle of wine. And I remember fessing up, too, and telling Ralph, he was on some trip or something, and he freaked out. But baby's okay, fortunately. And 2.5 years later, I had another baby. That's my son, Adam. Both of them live in Georgia. Ralph and I stayed together for a bit longer. I ended up going to AA on my own. Ralph was not supportive, which is kind of weird. I don't know why that is, and I still don't know why. We are friends today, by the way. Ralph and I make better friends than we were husband and wife. But I ended up going to AA, and this was all still in New Jersey. I remember the first AA meeting I walked into, and it was huge. I mean, it was an auditorium, and it was packed. And I went to the backstage, and I just sat there and cried the entire time. And then of course, people come up to you afterwards, and da-da-da-da-da. I managed to stay sober. I got a sponsor. Not the best sponsor in the world, although I didn't know that at the time. I was new to AA, but she did not take me through the steps. And a year and a half later, I was doing really well, though. I was doing well. And I had a year and a half, and things were not well with Ralph and I. They just got worse and worse, and I decided that it was time. And I was sober, and I made the decision sober, and I tried to figure out... I tried to work with him, figure out a way to stay in New Jersey with the kids. I mean, they were in school there, and it just didn't work out. I think that he was fine with me leaving. As a matter of fact, the day I was leaving with the boys, they were only in just starting third grade and first grade. And I took the dog and the bird, too. And I drove down to Georgia to where my parents were living. They kind of knew that it was the possibility of happening. Matter of fact, the first Christmas I was there, my mom gave me this. This is the Footprints in the Sand necklace. My mom was very religious, and so it's got the poem on the back, too. I've had this since then. 95 is when I moved to Georgia. I stayed with my parents for about 3 months. I was back and forth to New Jersey, driving back and forth just on weekends to get a few things. I went back up in November for a closing on the home. I don't mean to get into all of this detail of this stuff, but I had another year and a half of sobriety. I tried meetings. I didn't try very hard. I went to a couple meetings in Georgia, and they were very different than what I was used to. So I thought, I'm never going to drink again. I don't need this. Because I wasn't ever going to drink again. I was fine where I was. And I managed another year and a half. And after a year and a half, and divorce had gone through and everything, my boss, who I was working for, I got a job with Gainesville City Schools, had a great boss. He introduced me to somebody, and that was my first date since, you know, my divorce. I had kept my wedding ring on for a year, even after moving, and it was very difficult for me. That was a huge decision, but not something I have ever regretted. I feel it was the right thing to do. Dating this guy just for a few months. Now, when I first got sober, I got sober on New Year's Eve. It was actually a sober day for me. New Year's Eve, 93, going to 94, right? 93, New Year's Day, New Year's Eve. And I'm drunk 3 years later, New Year's Eve. So exactly 3 years. He even said to me, because he knew I wasn't drinking, he said, "Are you sure? You sure that's okay?" "Oh, yeah, hell. You know, it's been a while since I drank. I'm probably not an alcoholic, you know." So I drank. Now, it wasn't off to the races with me. I've heard people say, you know, once they pick up the drink again, I mean, they're just right back. Well, it wasn't for me. It did take a little while. And I think it's because I was working. I had the kids. I had a home. And, you know, I was managing. I was a functioning alcoholic, I guess. But, you know, eventually it's going to catch up with you. Bill W. said something about the progression, right? He said a lot of things. God bless Bill W. You drink to fit in, you drink to escape, then you drink to forget, and then you want to die. Eventually, I got there. It took me almost 10 years of drinking again to get back to AA. But I ended in that place where I wanted to die. Things were not good for me. I had started a new job, too, during this time of drinking. Well, actually, I had a few different jobs from here to there. The job I'm in now, I've been in for over 20 years. The first 2 years of that job, I drank, and I drank on a daily basis. I drank in the morning to get ready for work. I brought it with me in the car, usually. You know, because I was drinking other things than just wine at that point, because you can't mix wine with orange juice, but I could mix vodka with orange juice. Yeah, the wine I saved for, you know, home, where I could still pretend that I was, you know, okay. I'm just doing what everybody else does, you know, come home from work and have a glass of wine, bottle or two. Yeah. Yeah, it was just really until I went to sleep. Fell asleep. And then I was desperate in the morning to make sure I had some in the morning. Always make sure I had my alcohol. That's where I got to. I really wanted to die. So one day at work, 2 years after working there, I left work and I knew I was just going to continue doing the same thing I do every day. And I'd hit one of the liquor stores on the way home, make sure I have enough to get me through. And enough to get me through the morning. I used to buy those little bottles to carry with me in my purse. I was probably the only woman at work who would bring her purse every friggin' time she went to the bathroom, you know? I mean, but nobody questioned me. Nobody. I had to have reeked. I had to have reeked. Somebody who drinks that much. What happened to me was, it was a spiritual experience. So I want to share that. I don't know if you're familiar with Green Street in Gainesville, but it's kind of a main drag. A lot of businesses on Green Street, and the old homes that have been turned into businesses. It's a beautiful, beautiful area. But my office is just right off of Green Street, and I remember going to Green Street. There's a club, the Hawk Club, which is on the opposite end of that road, and I went this way, and it's over here, and I don't remember leaving Green Street. Now, obviously, I was drunk. Don't remember. I'm sure I pulled off someplace. But as far as I'm concerned, God lifted that car up, you know, because I was still on Green Street. Somewhere. But I made a phone call to the 800 number. AA 800. I was desperate for help. I did not want to do the same thing I was doing every day. I wanted something different. And I stopped wherever it was. I just don't remember leaving Green Street. And I made the call. Somebody answered. They put me in touch with the Hawk Club. I made that call, and somebody answered. And then they passed it on to someone else. Then they passed it on to someone else because I was obviously a mess. And these whoever, you know, did not know what to say to me. But the third person was God sent, and she said, listen, you can keep doing what it is you're going to do, or you can turn the car around, come to this meeting, and I'll save you a seat. And that's what I did. I don't even remember where I turned the car around. I just know I did, and I got there. I walked in the back door, and that old Hawk Club does not exist anymore. They have a new club that they built. Same, you know, property, but I remember walking in the back door, and there's this lady sitting, and the place was mobbed, lady sitting there and an empty seat. I don't know how she knew it was me either. God knows what I looked like when I walked in there. A mess. So she was just so kind, and it was everything that I needed. Now, I'd like to say I stayed sober right there and then, but I didn't. I did for 45 days, and it was very difficult because coming back is not easy. And after 10 years of being back out there, not easy. And I went much further down that ladder than the first time I got into AA. I took 2 days off of work. I sat at home, drank, called her at 11 o'clock on Tuesday night. And she says to me, well, you can continue doing what you're going to do. Or you can come to a meeting tomorrow, pick up a white chip. And that's what I did. That was August 20th, 2007, and I've been sober ever since. But I have worked very hard at this. I have come a long way. Because the biggest difference is I really want it today. I really opened up my ears and listened and heard so much hope, so much love and acceptance. And it's like, wow. In the end, you know, this higher power, okay, which is the biggest part of my program, and I think it's the biggest part of the 12 steps, is we have to find a higher power or we're going to be lost. So I rely on my higher power every single day. Every single day, sometimes moment to moment. I work with others. Of course, I have a sponsor today. And I've had different sponsors for different reasons. The sponsor I have today is just absolutely, you know, God sent. God has sent me everybody that I have ever met in AA, I believe, have been God sent. I have very good, close friends today, which I never had in my life. And I can say that they love me and I love them unconditionally. That is a miracle to me. That is the gift that I've been given. And I don't take this thing called, you know, lightly at all, because, I think that I should be dead if I didn't have AA. There's just no question. And who knows who I would have taken down with me. There's been a lot of work that's been done over the 18 years as far as cleaning house, of course, making amends, and all of that. And it's a beautiful thing. It's amazing what comes from working some simple steps. They really are simple steps. I find that if I get into human, so no matter what happens in my life today, and this has been a difficult year. There's been losses in my life this year. I've had a precious niece take her own life this year. My brother, who I loved dearly, could never find sobriety. He died from the disease of alcoholism. I was 2 years sober when he passed. I was with him in the hospital when he took his last breath, and I went directly to a meeting. I am thankful that I was able to be there. I'm thankful I was able to be there for my father when he passed, and I was able to do a ninth step with my dad before he passed. I was not able to do that with my mom. Both my parents passed from cancer, and my mom, I was still drinking when she passed, and I really went off the deep end when she passed. But I've been able to mend all of those things, even after her passing. This is such a beautiful program. I feel that, I always say it's the gift that keeps on giving, because as long as I'm ready to receive, you know, I just have to be willing, I have to be open, I have to hear. I see things today, and I think, I've missed so much in my life. I don't want to miss it anymore. I don't want to miss it, because no matter what it is that's going on in my life, and there are trials and tribulations all the time. We all have them. We're human. And life is tough right now for everybody. It doesn't matter. Because this too shall pass. And I'm alive today. I am present for a reason. And I can embrace whatever it is that's happening. There's a job for me. Speaking of jobs, and I'll just keep this real short, I promise you I will. I'm on a new journey right now with jobs. So I've been in my job for 20 years. There have been some changes and transitions happening over the past 3 years, and I've been seeing them, and it's affecting me, and I could see it was going to be affecting my job. So start thinking, you start praying, and it's like, maybe I need to be doing something else. Maybe there's some other thing I need to be. Maybe this just isn't for me anymore. I've gone part-time this year. Couldn't really afford to go part-time, but I have. It was a great thing. I'm glad I made that decision. It didn't come lightly. But now, I think I'm going to go get my CARES. And I don't know if everyone here knows what CARES is. And we'll see where that brings me. And I'm okay to go back full-time doing something in recovery. I have thought about it for several years, and it's really been the past 6 months where I feel called to do something in recovery. And I'm excited about it. I'm not nervous. I'm not fearful. I am just, okay, maybe this is what I need to do. I'm just really grateful, and I so appreciate you inviting me to be here and just tell a little bit about myself, and hopefully I did share some strength and some hope. Okay. That's all. Thanks.
First I slip, and then I quit. A hope-filled dream. You rescue me, and finally, waking there I see. I look into life's window for a soul. Something that sets me free. Take me where the promise is.